Smoke covers the skyline north of Sudan's capital after airstrikes by the army against positions of the Rapid Support Forces. Fighting continues at Khartoum Airport, leaving a trail of destruction. Satellite pictures show widespread damage after days of heavy fighting. Flights have been suspended, preventing international mediators from arriving. 330 kilometers north of Khartoum, Marawi Air Base is still being contested by rival military forces, with fighter jets destroyed. The battle has intensified between Sudan's army and the biggest and most powerful paramilitary. Army Chief Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and his deputy, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, who leads the Rapid Support Forces, had been in charge of the country since 2019. But they disagree on how to restore civilian rule. It's unclear who now has the upper hand, with fighting around the General Command military headquarters. The Rapid Support Forces released footage purporting to show its troops gaining ground with its soldiers at the security services building. But after the army took back control of state TV on Monday, it's called on the RSF to turn themselves in.
It is not in the interest of our homeland to have its own countrymen carrying arms against one another. Therefore, we call on them not to be part of this conspiracy, to lay down arms and turn themselves in, and then let's see if they will consider joining the ranks of Sudan's armed forces.
Khartoum and other cities are now battlefields, with tanks rolling through the streets and dead bodies strewn across pavements. Medical staff are warning they can't reach the injured because hospitals are under attack. There's not enough medicine, food or water. With power cuts, generators are operating at critical levels, but some are venturing out to find supplies.
We have bought 6 packs of noodles. 2 packs can feed 3 people for 1 meal. There is also salt and cake. The cake will expire tomorrow, so we can have it for dinner tonight.
There's a global push to find diplomatic resolve. The U.S. is urging the warring sides to end hostilities.
This morning, I made calls to Generals Burhan and Hamedi, urging them to agree to a 24-hour ceasefire, to allow Sudanese to safely reunite with their families, and to obtain desperately needed relief supplies. I also underscored in both calls the responsibilities that Sudanese fighting forces bear for ensuring the safety and security of U.S. and other diplomats who are resident in Sudan, as well as for U.N. staff and other humanitarian partners.
For now, it's unclear if the two generals are willing to heed these requests as their capital city continues its descent into a war zone. Rahila Mohammed, Al Jazeera.
Let's go to Hiba Morgan now. She's live for us from Khartoum. And Hiba, the last ceasefire turned out to be a bit shaky. How solid does this one look like?
Well, we're going to have to wait until the start of the period of a ceasefire. But when you look at the record just over the past 2 days, when the first ceasefire was announced on Sunday and then the second on Monday, both did not last. People were not able to leave their homes. And even now, ahead of that ceasefire that was agreed upon by both sides following international pressure, there is intense airstrikes, so intense that the building where we're forced to stay in the basement for safety reasons. So it's not clear if both sides will actually adhere to the ceasefire that their top command has agreed to. There's intense airstrikes ongoing. We can still hear heavy artillery being fired, anti-aircraft missiles being fired at the fighter jets that are flying overhead. And we can still see that there are some smoke coming out from some parts of the capital, Khartoum, especially the southern parts. So it's clear that these two are determined to fight until the point when the ceasefire is supposed to come into effect, with both sides wanting the upper hand when that ceasefire comes into effect.
And tragic video coming in showing the suffering that people are putting up with, their university students burying a colleague in the grounds because they simply can't get out. Bring us up to speed with what the humanitarian situation is looking like on day 4.
So Sudan's humanitarian situation, even before this fighting started, was already dire, with a third of the population in need of assistance. Many people did not expect this fighting to happen, so they didn't have extra food, they didn't store water. Many people in residential areas who we spoke to say that they're out of clean water to drink, that they're out of food, and they don't know what they'll be having for iftar. This is the holy month of Ramadan. And people saying that they've been out of electricity for 4 days now, so most of the food that they had in the fridge is no longer usable for them to be able to cook. So the situation is quite dire. And then there are those who've been injured as a result of the heavy shellings in residential areas. They say that they can't access hospitals because most hospitals are either not operational or with very little medical staff. And then there's the issue of security on the streets. They say they can't leave their homes. So the situation, the humanitarian situation for the civilians who are caught up in the middle of this battle between the RSF and the armed forces is quite dire. Many of them saying that they don't know when this will end, but they want it to happen so that they can try to get some kind of medical assistance and try to get food and water for survival.
All right, thanks so much. Hiba Morgan there. Well, Khalid Abdelgader Abdullah lives in Khartoum with his mother and sisters. He joins us now live from there. Good to have you with us. So first of all, let's start with the ceasefire. How confident, how eager will you be to try and go out during the ceasefire, which I think starts at 6 o'clock local time in Khartoum?
Yeah, 6 o'clock local time is supposed to be having a ceasefire, but I don't think that any of that is happening. As you can hear now, there are some youth shots being taken, and I think they're trying to use each and every hour before the ceasefire. So having troubles in water, electricity, food, everything. The connection between people is getting low because people are trying, their phones are getting shut off. My phone now, while I'm talking, is on 2% in my cutoff right now. So it's pretty hectic around here.
So how will you survive then if you don't go out? It sounds like you're not planning to go out to the shops. How are you going to keep supplies going?
While they're engaging, we actually got the Sudanese people, like, they're actually going out getting their stuff while the bullets are over their head. They don't have, like, they have no other choice but to do that, or they'll die inside their houses. So they have to go out and get their food, especially in the month of Ramadan. You have to go get a lot of stuff besides that. So people are just stacking up supplies, and supplies are beginning to run out. So...
And then when you buy food, I mean, how do you refrigerate it with no electricity? What are you planning to do to, you know, recharge your batteries and your phones and things like that?
Well, some houses and some hoods have generators. So you find a whole neighborhood charging their phones in this specific house, and this house has water, and this, like, you know, it's a mixed up thing. You never know. You don't know what the truth is. You don't know, like... Where did they hit, like, a water supply station, or they hit the electricity station? I don't know. Maybe they shut it down by themselves. Maybe it's tactics for the war. We don't know that. But the thing is that there's no electricity, there's no water. We're just trying to handle it out as citizens with each other. They're not, no support from no police, nothing. They're just having a fight. They're letting us die. And that's what's going on in Sudan right now. People are struggling. These are the first 4 days. So right now, you're not finding a lot of struggle because, like, there's still some supplies. There's still some people that have electricity, have diesel. They can charge it, their generators. But if this thing continues for 3-4 days, I think we're going to be losing a lot of people. Medications, we can't find medication. Pharmacies are closed. Hospitals are closed. There are some people who are sick. They need medical treatment. They can't be staying at their homes. They're dying now at their homes because there's no medical attention. There's no hospital open. So basically, it's a pretty, pretty, pretty desperate, hectic situation.
Is there any functioning authority at any level, local authority, central government, ambulance services, police, anybody you can call if you need help?
Well, we're calling on all the... Not the local organization. I'm talking about the worldwide organization, because the local organizations, they're not paying any attention to what's going on, as if they're ignoring what's going on. I'm calling on the NGOs, all the United Nations, whatever, the humanitarian organizations. They gotta help us in this situation. Come see, we have to cease fire. We have to stop this, because if this continues, there are more and more innocent people will die.
But there's no local authorities that you can reach out to and pick up the phone and call someone for help.
Not at all. Not even the police. If someone got robbed, if you call the police, they won't act upon you. They won't do anything. The world, the Sudan is in a mess right now. Only thing we can do is pray to God that everything stays safe. And the second thing is that we call out on all the humanitarian organizations, NGOs. You have to put an end to the situation because it's getting really, really, really bad. The first 3-4 days right now, it's bad, but it's not that bad. It's going to get worse. Trust me, it's going to get worse. And the RSF and the military, even them, they're going to run out of supplies and they're going to start robbing people and killing people and coming into people's houses. Already a few have done that in Khartoum Itnain, which is close to the palace area, the presidential palace, about 4 to 5 kilometers from that. Some people, I know some people that told me that they started robbing cars, started robbing houses. They take gold, they took, these are the RSF, especially the RSF, the Rapid Support Forces. They especially, because they're running out of supplies, they go to houses, they rob houses, whatever they can find, they take, you know. So right. It's going to get pretty more and
right. It's
worse,
tragic,
you know?
Tragic to hear that. Khaled, we hope the situation gets better for you. Charge your phone and stay safe. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.